Good afternoon. It's good to be back once again to feed on the Word of God for our souls. You know, actually, we all have just found ourselves living in this world. We are grown-ups for many of us. We have kids amongst us who are just up behind their parents, go to school, eat, sleep, jump around, play around. But we who are grown-ups, who have reached the age of accountability, we know that we are in this world. We know we have come into this world without our consent. We had no choice. God decided to give us a chance in life. If God, you know, sometimes there are certain things that have happened to our country. You'll see people carrying their hands on their heads, and they say, just like Job, "Cursed is the day that I was born in this world." You know, there are times, we go through certain, pains, tribulations, trials, and then people say, "I don't know why God brought me into this world." But I'm so happy for my American brethren, except for one or two extreme cases, they don't have the cause to say, "God, why did you bring me into this world?" But we are all here into this world without our consent, and God chose our heritage. God said, "Christian, you'll be born into the Azil family. Joshua, you'll be born into the Lee family. Tad, you'll be born into the Nehemiah family," and on, we have no choice. Otherwise, if God had asked me, "Christian, I want to give you an opportunity on the earth, where would you want to be born into?" I probably say Nehemiah family, because I know that you have been a good dad for me. Probably all of you, I have a lot of choices, but certainly I wouldn't want to be a politician on some. Alright, so because we all know how they behave. But what I'm saying here is, we are all born into this world without our consent. We do not know. In fact, these little children that we carry around in our hands, they don't know what is going on. But as soon as they begin to get to the age of accountability, they begin to realize that they're in this world. And God brought us into a world that has already been cursed. Remember, Adam and Eve had a beautiful paradise. But because of sin, God said to Adam, he said, "Cursed is the ground that you till to get your daily bread." So we have a lot of illnesses, sicknesses. We have a lot of natural disasters. We have a lot. We have even man-made actions. I remember about 10 or 12 years ago, how many years? All right, when the terrorist attack came, World Trade Center, we were looking at that on the TV. We saw how wonderful people, American people, innocent people, were running helter-skelter because of that. But God has brought us into this world. If I had been known, we would not come to this world. But God said, "You're going to this world. I have a higher purpose for you. You go into this world. In fact, I'm going to select your heritage. You're going to be born in America. You're going to be born in Dayton. You're going to be raised by the Lee family. Everything, I am going to decide your heritage." And then we come into this world, begin to go on, and then finally, what happens? We find out that our days are fleeting. However long, our days are short. You go up to 115, it is still short. Because I can remember myself in the kindergarten, in the nursery, preschool, and then junior high, senior high, tertiary education, married. Now I'm getting closer to Brother Steve. Not too long, as soon as I begin to understand life, that I am here, where did I come from, what am I doing here, where am I going, the Bible says, we die. Some people look at life, that's not bad. If I can live life and do all I can, and then I enjoy myself, and then I die, and that's it. It's all over. But tonight, for the next 30 minutes, we'll look at one important aspect of our life on this earth. That we came into this world without our consent,
We will die against our will. All right, we'll be buried, cremated, or whatever, but there's an event. There's an event that is coming that we are going to discuss. And that's the resurrection. Amen? We will be resurrected. The resurrection. Except the Lord comes first, my dear brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17 says that we, if we die, will be resurrected at his coming. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Then verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So except the Lord comes first, we shall, if we die, and none of us know when we'll die. Death has no respect for circumstances. It doesn't want to know whether I'm a Sierra Leonean, whether you're American, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you are you have influence, whether you have this, one day we'll go. But when we'll go, however long we stay in the ground, someday, if the Lord does not come, we'll have to be resurrected on that day. Our faith rests on this. Brethren, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 14, he said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection, that's what he's saying, of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You know, when we're having lunch, brother and I were discussing about the resurrection. I said, oh, I wish you know that I'm coming to talk about this. You understand? He said he talked to a congregation about resurrection and all that. We had them on how people view the resurrection. But in verse 13, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14, which is very alarming, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. So, brethren, we see that our very faith, the very fundamental, the premise on which we do all because we have a risen Lord. Amen. And based on that, we too shall be raised, all right, and what, from the grave, or raised from the earth to be meet him in the skies. So, and what, the resurrection is a key piece of our faith, and we need to study and accept it. You know, some have thoughts about life and death as opposed to the resurrection. Some people say, I will live life as it pleases me, and when death comes, then all is over. That's how most people, those who are not yet Christians, those who don't care about God, they say, I will go, I will live my life, and when I die, they bury me, and that's all over. How can God raise me after I've been there, I've been there over 50 years or whatever? You know, he's just a man. He just lives his life. And some say, okay, if you think that there's another life when I'm resurrected, then I will complete the unfinished business I left, you know, when death occurred. You know, because when death occurs, it always makes you unsatisfied for the length of time. Except for those extremists who sometimes put explosives on themselves, explode themselves, but we all of life want to live the next minute. That is why when we go to bed, we pray that the good Lord will keep watch over us. When we go out in the day, we pray that the good Lord will watch over us. We just commit there because we want to see day after day after day. But certainly, we'll go on until one day we die. And it's important to know that it is impossible to have all those guys, especially those who have lived long ago. When I was having a discussion with somebody, he said, look, Christian, can you imagine? When will God raise all of those in Adam and in Abraham's time, down to Ezekiel and all of that, all these people, all those who have died? He was trying to compare his finite mind with that of God. Well, Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, what does it say? It said, for my ways are not, and your ways are not the same. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than the ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. You know, there are times we look at God's dealings with a finite mind. because we are humans. And then even Job struggled with this and asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? You know, many people feel that when we die, it's all over. But there's a resurrection day that is coming. In Job 14 and verse 14 and 15, we saw Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? And he said, all the days of my life will I wait till my change come. And they said, thou shalt call, and I will answer. Brethren, the resurrection is a mystery. It's a mystery just as you came into this world without knowing when you came into this world by whom until you reach a particular point. That's how mysterious the resurrection will be. It is not for us to question the possibility of the resurrection of our bodies. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, the Bible tells us that we know this, our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve. We have a building, all right, of God eternal in the heavens. Not made by hands, but by God. All right, we saw that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. We saw how and what Paul was saying that, behold, I show you a mystery, referring to the resurrection. He said, we shall all not sleep, because that's why I said, except Christ comes first, sleep is death. But we shall all be changed in the twinkle of an eye, in a moment, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise and shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, Paul was saying, this corruptible is, well, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The God, my dear brethren, I believe, who formed our bodies out of the dust. Remember when God formed Adam? He was out of the dust and he breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. I believe that that same God, all right, and what, who formed our bodies and gave them life on this earth, can raise them for any condition in death and make them live again in a glorious state in the hereafter. Well, and that's my belief, and I know that you share in that belief. We cannot say because we are dead, we rot, you understand, under the ground, or we are being cremated, and our body's gone, and all of that. No. God and what? God spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be, and it was. So, what? At death, we should know is a separation. The body goes to the dust from whence it came, the spirit goes back to God. Whatever God and what would have to do that there, we don't know. Because in verse 28 and 29, it's going to be a marvel. John said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming that they which are in the grave shall hear his voice. It's going to be a marvel. At that last trump, at that loud sound, all right, we all shall comfort if we are in the grave when he comes. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, brethren, if we say we will do all those things that we will do, thinking that God does not know, and then we end up dying, and when we die, we are given a befitting funeral. I've seen the worst thing, what? Criminals giving befitting funerals in Sierra Leone. You know, these criminals, they deal with drugs, they have money. So what they do and what? They go to some churches, they do and what? They do benevolence and all that. So they are just quite happy with them, even though they know that they have not what? They have not been doing well in society. So there was a time, a radical preacher, he was not a preacher of the Lord's Church, but he was part of the Anglican Church. So one guy died, one of those drug cartel guys, and then they offered him money. They offered him money, they said, we know that everybody knows that this guy is notorious. This guy is not a good guy, but we are going to give you about 50 million. We just want you in your sermon to say he's a good man. You know, pay me to say he's a good man for 50 million. That's about $9,000 and over, about $10,000. If you come and say, let me give you $10,000, just tell me that Josh is a good man. Why not? But you know what the guy did? He took the $10,000. And then he said, listen to my sermon, I will say he's a good man. And then he started speaking. He said, this man has a cause for many young. He was pointing to the casket. This man who's lying down there, he has caused many youths to be crazy. all right, to lose their lives. He's a drug dealer, he's a cartel, blah, blah. He said all the evil, evil things. So the one who paid him the money was just, oh, this man, you know, this man is not calling this man good guy, but he's saying all of these things. And he said, okay, even though this man has killed, has done all of these evil, evil things, compared to that lady, that is the lady who gave the money, he's a good man. So at the end of the service, the woman went to him, why did you say all of these things? I told you that. He said, yes, I said, he's a good man. But it was comparing you, the two of you. So what we're saying here is that some of us, we think we'll do all the worst that we can do. And then we sleep the sleep of death, or we'll wait until Christ comes, we're still alive, and then what we are doing. Brethren, when we die, either if we forgot on the ground, we turn to dust as we came, alright, or we are cremated or whatever. The Bible says, "Thee that I believe will one day hear his voice." So our resurrection, that we Christians should hold close to our chest, close to our heart, that someday we have to rise up. Will be that is not another chance to go through the afterlife. Many a time people feel that they are underprivileged in this life. They pray for another life to come. That is why the Jehovah's Witnesses, they go about spreading false doctrine that we have to inherit this earth. That is why when they die, have you ever attended a Jehovah's Witness funeral? Well, I have done so. They wear your shoes, they get you dressed, that you're going to wake up to walk on this earth with your shoes. You should not go about bare feet. You understand? So that's what they do. They dress you up with shoes and all of that. So it's not an opportunity to complete unfinished business. Probably you are in the midst of building a house, extending your business somewhere, or you want to see your child and what, out of high school or out of college, or you want to see your child marry and all that, all of a sudden death and cutscene. No, you wouldn't have a second chance to do all of this. And then it wouldn't be another. I've seen somebody, that's why I have this on my mind, on the slide. Somebody said, someday, when we come back into this life, I'll prove to you that I have an edge this time. You know, sometimes people, they wish that I should have been Donald Trump. I should have been this. I should have been that. Okay, the next time, when I be president of the United States, you know, people preach the incarnation, they preach the karma, they preach all of these things and all that. No, but the Bible is saying that we will have to be resurrected. We have to come forth from the grave, just as John 5:28-29 says. This, my brethren, is a must. The resurrection is a must because the love of God desires it. God wants his faithful to spend eternity with him. He loves man, he loves those. He's not willing that any of us will perish, but that we all should come to our... He loves us, so he has to raise us up. And the power of God can grant it. It's not my power. Amen. God can do anything. He can do all things. Amen. All things. And the justice of God demands it. Brethren, you and I, we mortify the flesh. We keep under our body, especially with the preachers. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Paul said, but I keep under my body. I try to bring it under subjection, lest after preaching to others, I myself become a castaway. The Bible is saying that we fight. We could enjoy like others are doing. But if we've chosen, all right, to go the right way, those who go the bad way, the justice of God will cause a man. And then it should comfort us as Christians. All right, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 12, 22, 26, 54 to 55. These are all beautiful scriptures to give us the assurance that we should be glad with the resurrection. In verse 12 says, we've read that if Christ be risen. So go to verse 22. It says, for us in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All right, verse 26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then verses 54 to 57, we see, Bible says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is that victory? The sting of death is sin, and the sting of sin is the law. But thanks to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the resurrection, my dear brethren, will be amongst. So when we leave this world, we are not. It's not an extinction. It's not that we are gone for good. We shall, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. The judgment will come. Will come after the resurrection. All right. So in concluding, let us know, and let us always remember that man must live again. Man must live again, not in this earthly world, not in this earthly manner. So if man must live again, either in one of two ways, either to the left or to the right, heaven or hell, we must continue eternally. It is imperative that as we hear the word of God, man must believe it. He must repent. He must confess Jesus as the Son of God and our Savior, and his Savior, and be baptized for the remission of his sins. Plan of salvation is quite simple to follow and not hard to comply with. You have heard the word of God this afternoon. I want to believe that you've believed the word of God. Repent of the sins that you commit, as we discussed this morning, and confess Christ as the Son of God if you are not yet a Christian. If you do that, definitely, before the congregation, the coming of this congregation, and before God, you'll be baptized as was seen in Acts 2 and verse 38. And then right then, we all together, supporting each other, will continue steadfastly while we live on this earth and linger on the sides of time. So when death shall come, we will know that, yes, we are just waiting only for the trump, the last sound, and then we shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall hear the judgment. Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit. For those that will not, they will go to the left. But we hope and pray that all of us here at Englewood will continue to stay on, so that when we change time for eternity, heaven will be our home. Brethren, the resurrection is a must. We should not overlook it. When we all shall be raised, it's going to be a surprise. It's a mystery. By the time you make it, you are there, just as you came into this world. But Jimmy, did you know when you were coming to this world? Did you know when you were coming to this world? No. I want to believe, but Steve as well. I didn't know. I did not choose my parents. These are facts that we cannot change. These are things beyond our imagination. So also with the resurrection be. Please let us live our lives. Let us strive for our family members to know that we have to come forth from the grave or be caught up with the cross for judgment. May the good Lord bless you. We love you all. We're going back to Africa, and we hope and pray that the good Lord will conduct us safely. Please keep us in your prayers as we return. We'll definitely extend your greetings to our brethren at Priscilla Street, and I hope and pray that this will not be the last time, even if not for me, for other brethren to come and see those of fallen heirs of the throne of God, that we shall all share heaven. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. We love you. Amen. As you sing the song of invitation, please make the right decision. God bless you.